We're reading from Galatians chapter 1, verses 10 to 24. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the Church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son to me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was. But I went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing to you is no lie. Later, I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they praised God because of me. This is the word of God.
Emma's looking different today. Hi, Diana. Okay, so last week we looked at the gospel, and if you remember the sermon last week from verses 1 to 9, there were three D's, isn't it? What were the three D's? The gospel is distinct, it's dangerous, and it is divine. Why is the gospel distinct? Because it's a very unique message, isn't it? It's only through Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, that we can be rescued from God's wrath. So it's very unique. There's no other salvation found in any other way. It's only in Jesus. It's distinct. It's unique. It's divine because it's from God. It's God's message. And it's dangerous because in those verses, Paul says that anyone who preaches a different message is cursed. That's really strong language, isn't it? It's like saying, go to hell, which we shouldn't, we often don't say to our friends. But he uses it in this passage like, whoa, is that Christian? Like, it's dangerous. Okay, let's pray as we look into today's passage. Father, we thank you for this message, this gospel, which is your gospel. And we pray, Lord, that we will grow in our understanding of it, in our appreciation of how powerful it is, Lord, because you have said that this gospel has the power to transform lives. Father, we pray for us as we listen to your word. Give us a soft heart, a teachable heart, and we ask for your Spirit to speak to us individually, that we can walk in obedience, responding to your word. We pray and ask this in your Son's name. Amen. Okay, so my main point this morning is that this is God's gospel. It is not man's gospel. So this is God's gospel. The word gospel means good news. So this news is from God, and it is not just a human message. Okay, Oscar Pistorius is a double amputee, and both his legs were amputated when he was 11 months old. So he's lived most of his life with in his condition. But he didn't let that stop him. His races and his won medals at the Paralympics. He's won gold medals in the 400 meters and in the 4x400 meters relay events. His nickname is the Blade Runner, or the fastest man on no legs. So he's got some nickname. But on Valentine's Day in the year 2013, he thought there was an intruder in the toilet and he shot the person. It turned out to be his girlfriend. And so he was charged and it came before the court. The question is, was it murder? Was it intentional? Or was it a mistake? How do you know the truth? How do you know the truth? So there are two versions of this story. Who do you believe? And it's a bit of a similar situation with the Galatian churches. They've heard the message, the gospel from Paul, and then after that, they've heard Jewish missionaries adding to that gospel, a different message, another gospel. Who do they believe? Who is speaking the truth? Which is the real gospel? So they had to decide for themselves which is the message, which is the gospel. So basically, what were the difference in the two messages? So Paul's gospel was, it is only by faith in Jesus Christ that we are saved from God's coming wrath on the day of judgment. The Jewish missionaries' message was that it's faith in Jesus is not enough. You have also to be obedient to Jewish laws like circumcision and certain food laws and things like that. So you need to do both. So which is the true message? So they were in that situation where they need to decide which is the true message. What's just a side thing to consider, what's the relationship between faith and obedience? For us as Christians, it's not that we don't obey, it's not that we don't listen to God and do what He says, but we do it because we are saved. We do it because we have a relationship with God. So we are saved. Our obedience doesn't save us. We obey because we are saved. So there is a certainty in our relationship. Obedience is a fruit of faith in Jesus. Today we have many religions, and a lot of the religions teach that if you want to go to heaven, if you want to have a relationship with God, you have to do something. You have to do good works. You have to be a good person, a moral person. But that is not the message of Christianity. The Bible teaches us that we are saved by faith in Jesus alone. It is a gift. And as a result of that, our hearts are changed. We then respond and live a life of obedience. We live a life of bearing fruit, of loving God and loving our neighbor. So the order is important. Religions teach you a certain order. Christianity teaches you a different order. But you have to decide, isn't it? You might be in high school and thinking, I've got a friend who's Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, atheist, and then I've been brought up in church as a Christian. What do I believe? What's true? Which is God's message? So you need to make that decision. You need to ask questions, find out for yourself, and make that decision. I remember growing up, when I went to college, I had a friend who believed that all roads lead up to the same mountaintop. So she said that there are different religions, but they are just like different parts at the end of the day, all these parts go up to the same mountain. We are all worshipping the one God. Is that true? If you think about it, it can't be true, because all religions are teaching different things. For example, Muslims believe that Jesus is a prophet. But for them to say that Jesus is the Son of God is blasphemy. For them to say that Jesus went to the toilet is like, no way, that's blasphemous. Because God is so holy, He's so separate, He's so distinct. For Him to become human, that's blasphemy. That's not true at all. So it's different. The religions are teaching different things. For Christianity, we believe in the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So we are not all on different paths leading up to the same mountaintop. We are teaching different things. So for these Galatian believers, they had to decide which gospel is true. Is it the gospel that Paul had preached to them, or is it the gospel that these Jewish missionaries had come and spoken to them? And in this section of the Bible, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10 to 24, Paul gives reasons why he is saying that his gospel is the real thing. It's from God. So we look at three reasons. The first is, he received it directly from Jesus Christ. The second reason is, it accounts for his life turnaround, transformation. And the third reason he gives is that he did not receive it from the headquarters in Jerusalem. We'll look at the 3 points. The first one. In verses 11 and 12, he says, I want you to know. He wants them to know. He's writing to them so that they can know that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. So, Paul is saying that he got this gospel not by second-hand, pass-it-on information. He got it directly from Jesus. Jesus revealed it to him. So it's first-hand. It's not like he went to some school and he was taught it. It's not that he sat under a tree and he was meditating on scriptures and it came to him slowly over a course of months and years. No, he got it directly from Jesus at a certain point in history. So it's firsthand. When you do an assignment for school or uni, normally you've got to write the source of your information, isn't it? If not, it's called plagiarism. Well, when Paul writes, his footnote is that he got it from Jesus Christ. That's Jesus is the source of his message. In Acts 9, Paul gives a biography of his conversion, of how he met Jesus, and he says this. He was on the road to Damascus, from Jerusalem to Damascus, and there was this bright, shining light that flashed. He fell to the ground, and he heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? His name was Saul previously. Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Jesus appeared to Saul. That's how he got his message. So Paul is defending his gospel, and the first thing he says is, his source is Jesus Christ, directly from him. That's why this is the real message. This is the true gospel. So that's reason one. Then he gives reason two. The second reason he gives is that his life changed when he met Jesus. His life turned around. Look at chapter 1, verse 13. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism. how intensely I persecuted the Church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. So that's what Paul was like before. He was a very religious Jew. He was top of the class. In fact, he got promoted to the class in front of him. He was advancing beyond his peers. So if you describe Paul, how would you describe him? He was actually a violent man. He was so intent in persecuting God's church that he was proactive, he wasn't passive. He went to the high priest in Acts, it tells us, he went to the high priest, he got the letters of authorization to go and capture the Christians so that he could put them in prison, he could jail them. So he was a hater of Christianity. Then he has this dramatic encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, and his life completely turned around. Look at verse 23-24. This is what it says. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they praise God because of him. So he turned from a persecutor of the church to someone who was a missionary, someone spreading this message. His life completely turned around. So Paul is saying to the Galatian churches, this is the reason that this is the true gospel. It's true because of the effect that it had on me. What else accounts for his life transformation? From someone who hated Christianity, who was persecuting Christianity, to someone who was spreading the message that he was opposed to. Why? So you have to answer that question. What makes the most sense of his change, his turnaround? It wasn't a slow turnaround. Slowly he was kind of transformed. It was 180 degree turnaround because of something that happened. Something happened, isn't it, to account for that turnaround. What do you think happened? So that's the second reason. Let me just stop here and think about ourselves for a while. If you are a Christian, that means Jesus has made himself real to you. That means you also have a story to share. Paul gives his story that the message that he's preaching is from God. Because a changed life, a transformed life, is a powerful story. It's a powerful witness to the truth of the gospel. So we too can talk about how God has changed us. We too have a message. We too have something to say. Sometimes we might think that, oh, I've grown up in the church. I don't have a dramatic kind of 180 turnaround. It was more like incremental, little by little, slowly, over a large period of time. You say that, oh, I was born in church. I always was a Christian. Like, that might be more your story, but that's okay. We have different stories, and God works in our lives differently. The message that we have is about Jesus. It's not about us. So we share about Jesus, how it could be an ongoing, slow, transforming process where you have been convicted of your sin. You repent, you say you're sorry, and then you trust in Jesus. You put your trust in Jesus. And so it's an ongoing message. It's not just a one-off story of God's dealing with our life. It's a continuous dealing. So we can share something that happened recently, how God has been dealing with us. So we've got something to say, because it's not a one-off, it's an ongoing way that God deals with us. Something that He's teaching us, He's guiding us, He's leading us, He's providing for us, it could be so many different things. So it's an ongoing thing. So what changes or provision or thing has God done that you can speak of? That's your testimony. That's your story. Okay, moving on to point number 3. The third point you might think is, what's that got to do with? Is that a point? Like, so he's saying that this is the real gospel, but he gives his point as he didn't receive it from headquarters in Jerusalem. You might be sitting there thinking, like, is that a good reason? Because the apostles had the message, and wouldn't it be good to say that he got it from the apostles? But why he gives this as a reason? Because of what's going on in the situation in the Galatian churches. So we kind of have to read between the lines and imply from what they are saying. Look at verse 16, chapter 1, verse 16. My immediate response was not to consult any human beings. He's saying he didn't get it from anyone else. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went to Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas, Peter, and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I'm writing to you is no lie. So Paul repeats the fact that there were apostles in Jerusalem, but he didn't get it from them. So you wonder, why is that an issue at all? So what probably is happening is that these Jewish missionaries were claiming, we are from Jerusalem. We are from headquarters. Paul got his message from Jerusalem, from headquarters. But Paul's message is deficient. Yeah, he got some things right, but it's insufficient. It's not the complete message. He got message stage 1. We are now giving you message stage 2. For those who are really sincere, those who are really genuine Christians, stage 1 is not enough. You've got to move on to stage 2. And they can then legitimately say, we're both from Jerusalem. We've got the full message. So that's why it's an issue, the source of the message. There are other things you must do for you to be right with God. So Paul is refuting these claims by saying that, hang on, I didn't get it from Jerusalem. I got it directly on the road to Damascus from Jesus. So that's why he's distancing himself from the apostles in Jerusalem. That's what this is all about. Okay, let me summarize. So three reasons that Paul gives to these Galatian believers are not sure which is the real message. And the first reason Paul gives is that he received it firsthand from Jesus. The second reason is it accounts for his life being turned around. And the third reason is he didn't get it from headquarters in Jerusalem. Okay. What about us? What's the implication? If this is the true message, that this message is from God, how do we respond to it? There are two implications that flow from this. One is, we can't change it. This is God's message. We better not mess with it. We can't change it. We can't add to it. We can't subtract from it. Two is, we are to stand firm in this gospel of grace. Don't move from it. This is the gospel. Okay? Today I just want to focus briefly on we can't change the message. And I think the temptation is that we sometimes may change it to please people. So in verses 10 he says this, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. So we can't change the message to make people happy. We need to stick to this message because this message is God's message. I think for many of us, the challenge is not so much changing the message. The challenge is being silent. What do you hear? Silence. That's the temptation, the challenge, isn't it? The challenge is, we live in a pluralistic society, plural, many different religions around us, our classmates, in university, at our workplace, many different cultures, many different religions. And to claim that your religion is the only religion, to make that claim in this society that we live in, you will be accused of being intolerant. You will be accused of thinking that you're sitting on a high horse. How can you be so judgmental? So in this pluralistic society we live in, for you to stand out and say, hang on, Jesus said that He's the only way to God, immediately you'll be frowned upon and you will be pressured to be silent. So that's the challenge we face. But we must not remain silent. So what does God's word say? Who are we pleasing? Who are we pleasing? Are we pleasing people or are we pleasing God? As Christians, we are to share our faith, to be faithful to God's gospel, because it has been given to us. It has been entrusted to us. We have this message. The message means that those who do not know Christ will be lost forever. They will be cut off from God's presence forever. But we who know Christ will live with God forever. It is a drastic difference. I was walking yesterday and it was such a sunny day and I was thinking, this is so nice to feel the warmth of the sunshine. To be lost means there is no sun. You are in total darkness for all eternity. So when we are timid, when we are afraid, we need to remember that the only approval that matters is God's approval. Some of us naturally are more bold. We are more courageous. We can speak more freely, confidently. We don't care so much what people think. Praise God. Speak up, because you have been made with that natural confidence and you don't care what people think. Share this message. But for most of us, talking about our faith is something hard. It's difficult, isn't it? It's uncomfortable. You don't want to be pushy. You don't want to offend. What will the other person think? Like we're struggling with all these things. So let's encourage one another. Encourage one another to take baby steps, to pray for, maybe you've got someone that you'd like to share with, or you're thinking about in your cell group. Pray about this person. Ask your cell group to support each other in praying for this person. Or if it's hard for you to speak about Jesus, you can invite them along for something where they can hear the gospel. So you can invite people. Take baby steps. Take small steps. Try to include bits of your faith in your normal conversation. I was speaking to someone the other day and we're talking about ill health, and then I mentioned, oh, Reverend James Jim, he was in a FEFCA pastors fellowship meeting. He's one of the pastors at Linfield. We were all sitting there. He was leading the meeting. He was fine. He was healthy. There's nothing, no indicator. And then I get the email to say that he's got cancer. It was such a shock, like just like that. He was fine 1 minute and then you get the diagnosis of cancer. So I was just talking to this person and then And then in my mind, it was like, oh, should I say my Christian perspective, worldview, or should I not should I not say anything? I think, oh, am I being pushy? Oh, he's not a Christian. Whatever. You have this thing going on in your head, isn't it? Anyway, I do. And then I thought, no, what if I love this person, if I know that apart from Jesus, there is no salvation, then I should share what I truly believe. So then I just said that, yeah, it was very sad to hear the news, but I know that he is a Christian. And as a Christian, although it is really sad if he were to pass away, Jesus has died and defeated death and sin. So I know that we will meet again. And then we went on to speak about other things. But we're not Bible bashing. We're not being insensitive. Be respectful. Be loving. But don't be silent. This is what we really believe. Death has been defeated. We are going to be with Reverend James for all eternity. This is the hope that we have. Maybe another thing is to introduce your non-Christian friends to your Christian friends. Do things together. Then, yeah, in those conversations, things may come up. Yeah. The other thing, I think we were at EC Camp and Christina's group had a little banner that said that in the past, people used to believe and then belong. But today we live in such a society that's so relative that truth is kind of, you believe what you want, I'll believe what I want, it can all be true. And so sometimes people need to belong and then believe. They need to see the gospel lived out, fleshed out, making a difference in people's lives. And then they come to believe. Then they come to faith. So what about us together as a community, at EC? What will it look like to see the kind of community that the gospel creates? And so what would it look like if we were a grace-filled community? We were growing in grace. What would that look like? A people of grace. I jotted down some points, but y'all can over lunch talk about it some more. But some of the things, we treat people better than they deserve. Treating people better than they deserve. They deserve, sometimes they're naughty to you, you should whack them. But we treat people better than they deserve. Why? Because God has treated us better than we deserve. A generous people. Why? Because God has been generous with us. Not holding on to grudges, but forgiving, because God has forgiven us. Not just doing what expected, but giving of ourselves, because Jesus gave of himself. A hospitable people, because God has welcomed us into his family. Accepting one another. We're all so different. We're all so different. Accepting one another because God has accepted us. A humble people, because we know that God has saved us not because of anything that we do, but because of his grace. Having time to talk to people, because God loves people. People matter to God. Saying hello, greeting one another, because there's no Bible verse that says God says hello. But that is because God is love. He's loving towards us, isn't it? It's an expression of love. So a grace-filled community. Continue talking about it with your friends. What would that look like for us? Let me end by reminding us of the grace of Jesus. Look at verse 15. Paul is a violent man. He is out to get the church, the Christians. He's out to kill them. He stood by when Stephen was stoned to death, giving his approval. He was cold-hearted, hard-hearted, really persecuting the church intensely. Verse 15 then says this, But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by His grace, was pleased to reveal His Son in me. So that was who He was, His path, but God came to Him, God met Him, God revealed Himself to Him. So here's Paul, this wicked persecutor, deserving of God's wrath and condemnation. God doesn't give him what he deserves. But God reveals Himself, steps into his life, calls him by grace, and chooses Paul to be part of the church that he was persecuting. He is now family. What is that? What is that when you don't treat people as they deserve? That is grace. That is amazing grace. Treating people better than they deserve. And why? Why does God do that? Why did God choose Paul? It says God was pleased. That means He wasn't constrained. He freely chose to save Paul. That is grace, isn't it? It's amazing. So this is good news. There's no one too bad, too far away from God, that cannot be saved. And this is good news for you, isn't it? If you are sitting here, and you don't know why, but you believe in Jesus. You have a relationship with Jesus. You love Jesus. The reason that happened is because God put faith in your heart. The reason that happened is because God caused you to be born again. And it says that God had already chosen Paul before he was in his mother's womb. And in Ephesians it says, before the foundation of the world. So God chose you by grace. Our response in space-time history is our response to accepting Jesus in the gospel. But the reason why we accepted Jesus is because God has chosen us. So if you are a Christian, if you are believing in Jesus, you are very, very, very blessed. You are very, very blessed. You will spend eternity with God. Friends, maybe we can close with this song, Kenny, if the band are all good. To the praise of His glorious grace. Ephesians 1 verse 6. To the praise of His glorious grace with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. Praise God. Friends, let's take a moment. While the band gets ready, take a moment of silence to write down one thing that God has impressed on your heart through this passage. What's one thing that has been impressed on your heart? You've got your bulletin, and the last page of the bulletin, you can write that down. And then we'll respond in song. So take 1 minute and then we'll do that.